Hello, and welcome to the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Alright then, so we just had the state of play, we had seen some things. I mean, PS5, okay, but here Nintendo, all we have is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, and I'm not sure, have you seen much more ads of Skyward Sword these days? It's like, it's getting more frequent. Yeah,
I know.
weird.
It's like they're, I swear, they, and I think I mentioned this last week when we were talking about why I wasn't happy about this HD thing, but they're like promoting it so heavily. It's like they want this to be the next main Zelda game, and I'm like, we're not. It's not. It's a remake. It's an HD remaster, and you said it! So, I don't know what they're doing, but like, it's really annoying. Because it's like, scrolling Skyward Sword. Scrolling Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword. Stop it! I'm not angry at all. No, not angry at all.
I mean, again, the only thing I'm just waiting for is that Joy-Con and Amiibo. That's it. That's all I'm getting next
week.
That's
fair. That's fair. Yeah. Also fair-ish is Tellius Tyler.
I will defend Nintendo's pushing of Skyward Sword. It is a mainline Zelda game. It is a big summer release. It will definitely sell well. So I agree with you. I've seen a ton of ads. Every time I sign on Twitter, there's just like at least three ads during my scroll. But it makes some sense. I mean, it's a Zelda game.
I mean, it just seems like they're just focusing on it way too much. I get it, Nintendo. You want your sales to be Skyward? Uh-huh. Shut up, Will. Alright, so we're going to do things a little bit differently today because obviously there was a big piece of news that came out and we're still not really sure what to make of it, so we're just going to get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Nintendo Switch OLED! Yes, that is how I'm going to refer to it now on. Thank you for asking. So yeah, imagine our shock slash horror slash surprise slash more horror when, all of a sudden, Nintendo does indeed reveal a brand new Nintendo Switch console. Or I should say, brand new, in quotation marks, because it is and it isn't new. Because it is a new Switch, but it's not the Nintendo Switch Pro. It is literally called the Nintendo Switch OLED model. So, what's different about this thing? Well, the new Nintendo Switch will be coming with a 7-inch OLED screen, an improved kickstand, because obviously we all need that. Better speakers, I can prove. A built-in wired LAN port, which I'm sure Tyler will be happy about. 64 gigabytes of internal storage, and a price point of only $350, which is obviously only $50 more than the current Switch model. But Todd, you said, what about the graphics? What about the processing power? Yeah, that's not been updated. It's the same thing, just a better screen, better speakers, and a LAN port. Oh, and the kickstand, obviously. And you get all that for $50. Oh, and the Joy-Cons? Not different at all. They are the exact same Joy-Cons, and they'll work with the ones that you have now, should you need them to. So, yeah.
But... Yeah. It's like, well, like, is this a Switch product? Yes, but no. It's like... Yeah, like, until I get that bump in that GPU, the CPU hardware, like, yeah, this thing is a hard pass for me. Like, granted, the whole white color scheme, that looks pretty. I'll admit, the white color scheme, it looks very pretty. And the fact they built in the LAN adapter when people already have bought a LAN adapter for the base Switch model, a dock, it's like, okay, this, at least you get something is improvement for all you large, like a hardwired connection fans. So, I mean, fine. It has some improvements. It has a better wider stance, all that, yada, yada, yada. But this isn't what I'm looking for. Personally, this is not what I'm looking for. We want something that bumps up performance, not just the simple quality of life improvements. So, yeah. I can understand why people are so a bit pit-miffed. But if you have not gotten a Switch yet, then this is definitely the one you want to get. So, half and half.
So, I'm not sure that this is the model that you want to get. Like, if you're going to play in a handheld mode, yeah, okay, it's probably worth $50 extra. But it totally depends on the user, because if you're buying it for one or two games, maybe you just save the money and go with a slightly worse screen. Now, if you're a hardcore gamer, I could see why you would benefit it. For me, I think I've been on the Switch Pro train for the longest time. It feels like in our annual NEP drafts, I always say Switch Pro, Switch Pro, Switch Pro, Switch Pro. And this is the new Switch model. It is certainly not a Switch Pro. That being said, I don't totally hate this. I mean, the improvements are nice. Like I said, for some gamers, that $50 price increase is going to be worth it. It's not really an upgrade model in the way that I would have liked it to be. I don't think this will be as successful as the Switch Lite. I could be completely wrong there, but I don't expect it to be as successful as that. But I still see what Nintendo is going for here. It's nice in a way that we won't have any games gatekept behind the stronger power. You know, there's not going to be Breath of the Wild 2, won't be a Switch Pro only game. Or Xenoblade Chronicles 3 won't be a Switch, you know, only game. So that's nice. From that angle, it's nice. But I am surprised.
Okay, here's my thing. So this is what I was telling Tyler before the show. It's an early morning on July 6th when this was announced, and I'm scrolling through Twitter to get myself slightly awake, and all of a sudden I see, you know, introducing the Nintendo Switch OLED, and I'm like, okay. Okay, this is cool. And it's like, oh, we're actually gonna get the Switch Pro. And then I'm watching and I'm like, they're not mentioning graphics at all. They're just saying that the screen is better, which obviously is a graphical improvement of a sort, but not in the way that it's intended in the gaming console. And then it's like, oh, we have a brand new kickstand. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Then LAN support. I'm like, I don't use LAN, but I can appreciate the div there. And then, like, everyone's like, wait a minute, is this a Switch Pro? Is this not the Switch Pro? And then they're like, they released a press release, they're like, oh, they're like, no graphical improvements, no software improvement or whatever, and, you know, no processing improvements. It's just, you know, the kickstand and the LAN and the speakers and all that. I'm like, this is like a side step forward. Like, kind of. And that's what I think a lot of people are frustrated about, is that we're not mad that they announced this. We got to make that clear. The majority of the fan base is not mad that they announced it. They're disappointed that this isn't more. Because this is also something I was telling Tyler before the show. I feel that if they had released this in 2019, which was when they released the Nintendo Switch Lite, if they had released this side by side with the Lite, with the Nintendo Switch Lite, and said, hey, if you want a more simplistic Switch version, here you go. If you want a little bit better of a Switch version, here you go. Kind of like what they did, and I know this is, most people won't like this example, but it's a fair one nonetheless, what they did with the Xbox Ones. They had the regular, they had the Xbox One S, and they had the Xbox One X. It's a wider range to fit whatever the gamer you are, is, and or needs. And that would have, in my opinion, been a fine announcement. Here's a slightly better Switch. Here's a more simplistic Switch. Pick the one you want, and then you'll be happy. And it's well within the price range. Again, $50 is not that much more. But given all of the rumors of the Nintendo Switch Pro with Bloomberg and everybody else, major accredited websites and business insiders saying, hey, we're doing this, like, or this is happening, you know, and it's going to be announced at E3 or soon after, and it's going to production in July, which is now, and et cetera, et cetera. And then this is the announcement we get. And you can say, but it's not Nintendo's fault that all these rumors happened. Yes and no. Yes, it's true that Nintendo technically doesn't start these rumors unless they intend to start the rumors, and we all know they've done that in the past. But this case, I can understand them saying, like, this wasn't their fault. Yeah, but they also never denied that the Switch Pro was coming. We talked about last...
Oh, no, they've denied it many times. But, and maybe I'm making that up, but I'm pretty sure they've said that's not in development many times.
No, they've... No, you're not lying, Tyler, but you're not stating it in the fully correct way. Now, as I was about to note, we even talked about this last week with Shintaro Furukawa talking about the potential future of a Switch Pro. They have always said, we are always working on the next development of our consoles. Which is a very Nintendo thing, because, you know, when they work on the GameCube, they're already working on the Wii. When they're working on the Wii, they're working on Wii U, and so on and so on. So that's what they've honestly always said. They've always had the party line that, you know, we will reveal our things when we are ready, and we are always working on the next advancement. They've never outright denied that a Nintendo Switch Pro was coming.
Well, okay, so in a recent, this was in December, Polygon interviewed Doug Bowser, Nintendo of America's president. He dismissed speculation of a Nintendo Switch Pro. When asked whether Nintendo was considering making the rumored Switch Pro, Bowser responded by saying that the company is devoting its efforts to the standard and light versions of the console as of now. The president himself said the momentum on Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Switch Lite in the fourth year is strong. Because of those console successes, that's the end of the quote, is strong. Because of those console successes, Bowser doesn't see a need to make a Switch Pro. That's from Screen Rant, but the interview was with Polygon. What I was reading was from Screen Rant. So they definitely have said it's not happening before. I think we just chose not to believe them because it seemed like, yeah, that's how consoles work these days.
Hold on, but don't say we as in NEP. We have been, I at least, have been strongly like, don't believe anybody unless you want to believe Nintendo. So
I guess, yeah, when I say we, I'm referring to like the collective fans.
Yeah, we the people.
You know, within fans, people see things differently.
And you know, I could see why people would look at that interview with Bowser. I never get tired of saying that, by the way. In the interview with Bowser, how did that happen? That they go, as of now, because everyone's like, oh yeah, as of now, they're not thinking about it because the console's not out yet. You know, the improved version isn't out yet. And of course, they're focusing on the ones that are making their money now. And, you know, we don't see a need. Well, yeah, you don't see a need this month, but then you see a need next month. And, you know, they knew that the other consoles were out or coming out or whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of ways you could read these interviews. We all know that Nintendo, among Sony and Microsoft, will always say just enough to make you think they're not doing something, and then they'll do it. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're not bringing back this franchise. Yeah, we're bringing back this franchise. You know, oh, we're not doing this remake. Yeah, we're doing this remake. You know, it's always hard to discern what is truth and fiction in gaming, as is other media, obviously. But the disappointment, rounding this back around, is that this is what they announced, you know, not even during E3. They didn't even feel good enough about this to announce it during E3. And maybe that was because they didn't feel confident in it. Maybe that was
Because,
right? I mean, go on.
That was the right decision, right?
Yeah, oh, I agree with that. I mean, it wouldn't have... Okay, I gotta say this correctly. Would it have brought down the conference? No, because I feel the games were strong enough to last without it. I do feel that if they had maybe dedicated the treehouse, like the opening of the treehouse, it's like, hey, because remember, they said specifically about the presentation, the direct, that it was only going to be about software, which is what I noticed that right off the bat, if you recall, that they said, we're only going to talk about the software of the Switch. And so I'm like, okay, so they're not going to talk about a potential Nintendo Switch Pro. They could have done that during the treehouse, though, and go, hey, everyone, we're going to show you, you know, the next iteration of the Nintendo Switch. And then that way, it's not just a video showcasing people playing the Switch, which I'll let Tyler rant about a certain thing in a second.
Gosh.
Yeah, he's very passionate about this, and I understand why. But like, if they had done that, and then they had, like, say, like a camera over, you know, a player using the Nintendo Switch OLED, showcasing how different it is, that I feel would have gotten over better than just a video that had clear flaws. Tyler, go into distinct detail what was wrong with that video.
This video, it drove me crazy. The Twitch ads have been so good leading up till now, and this ad shows people like playing the Switch, but they're not moving their thumbs, and it just drives me crazy. Watch the beginning. The guy starts playing Metroid Dread, and it's the trailer from E3, but it is a gameplay segment, and he's just holding the system while Samus like runs around like, move your thumbs a little bit, just give me that. And then the girl is next, and she's like playing Breath of the Wild 2 and doing the same exact thing. Like, she's just like, just holding the console. She's not actually playing it. And it sticks out like such a sore thumb when you look at it. It drove me nuts. Even the third guy, when he goes in and sits down on his hallway, like the first thing he does, he sits in the hallway and starts playing Pokemon. Like, go to your couch. Who's placed Pokemon sitting on like their hallway desk? I don't. The people in this ad drove me crazy, and it's a small and stupid thing, but it was the first thing I noticed, and it just boggled my mind that the director needs to be fired. Fire the director and bring somebody else in.
Yeah. The funny thing for me was when you went on this rant, I'm like, what is he talking about? And then I rewatched the commercial and or ad or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, they didn't. They weren't moving their thumbs. Now, I will give a small concession on the Metroid one the first time, because that was clearly the cutscene that they showed in the trailer. So you wouldn't need
to push... at the end. Yes.
Yeah, at the end, though. Yeah, at the end, though, they were clearly in the gameplay mode. They weren't moving around. So why? And then
that was, yeah.
Do you remember what I told you, Tyler? When you told me about that, do you remember what I told you?
I can't remember the direct quote.
Yeah. I said, they're not gamers, Tyler! Think! Tyler! Think!
That's right, the Omni-Man.
Yeah. So, like, that's... Like, try harder. Try harder, Nintendo. I mean, you brought freaking celebrities like Venus and Cena and Brie Larson to go play the Switch, and they actually showed them playing the Switch. You tell me you can't do this when you're trying to promote your new model. Like, come on!
Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. I want to cycle back to, for a second, the LAN port. Because you said I would like this.
Yes.
And in one way, I do like this. This should have been on the base model. Yes. I already bought a connector or cable for like $20 that allows me to plug it in directly anyway. But they removed one of the, I think it's USB-C. I might be wrong about USB-B. But they removed one of the USB ports to put the LAN thing in. So you can't plug as many things into the Switch now, which stinks. Like, that totally stinks. You've lost a Pro Controller charging port. You've lost a GameCube adapter port. Like, that's a sideways step. It's a sideways step, like the rest of this thing really kind of is.
Right. Good point. Because, like, if you're gonna play Smash on that thing, you're right. It's like you can't use the GameCube adapter with just two USB Type-C ports, which, yeah, or USB ports. So, like, what now? Or if you want to, like, do anything else with it, yeah, you're down one USB. So, yeah, that's a good point.
I do agree, but... though. Will made a point. The white model looks higher. Like, if there's a good trade-in deal, although my Switch is kind of beaten up, I don't think I'd get full value. I would probably do it just because I like how sharp that white model is, and I hope that they sell those Joy-Cons separately.
Can we just note that the biggest compliment this thing has gotten is that it's white?
It looks sick, though. It does look sick.
It's clean. I mean, it's a clean white. I mean, like, granted, like, how... I'm not sure if Nintendo's trying to, like, go match with going to the PS5 white color scheme, but, like, granted, the white color scheme is pretty, like, out there. I mean, we're so used to the drab black mate style, but, heck, it's always good to bring some white or any other colors besides it, so, yeah, why not?
We've kind of talked about the story enough, and forgive me if I'm repeating ground here, but, like, we think that this is a mistake? Like, what do you guys think that it's a mistake to not release a Switch stronger model?
Like, it's going to be for a while, and just for a quick correction, yeah, I'm actually looking at the image right now. The two USB ports is still there, Tyler. It's still there, so it's just, like...
On the sides it is, but not on the one behind the back.
In the back. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha. All right. So, back to your question is that we're bound to do one. I mean, it's in my gut. I feel like we're doing, because, again, I want something to run Breath of the Wild 2 proper. I mean, that's the thing that really wants me to believe that this Pro Switch model is coming soon. And of course, Natty Koopa Keef, everyone else, like, dude, it's not gonna come. Wait until Nintendo. And yes, they're right. You gotta wait until Nintendo confirms it themselves. But I want to believe.
We all want to believe. Well, not really. I don't really want to believe. I have better things to believe in. Like reading Tyler's Celeste review when that comes out. Yeah.
Anyway. Listen, my Mario Golf review is up.
And we will talk about that.
I apologize.
No. Okay.
The internet was bad and it wasn't working.
It's fine. It's fine. At least it's up. And you were technically within the 2 weeks. So.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. I was.
Yes, you were this time. Anyway. So, is this a mistake? Yes and no. No, it's not a mistake that they did these improvements. I don't understand, and I mentioned this earlier, I don't understand why it took 4 years to get to this point. Because year one, yeah, that's way too soon. That would be viewed as a kind of a mistake, if you will. And say, like, oh, well, they should have had this at the beginning. Like, maybe, yeah, but for what it was. I still enjoy my Switch just fine. I've had it since launch, all right? And I still love it. But again, if they had released this in 2019 alongside the Nintendo Switch Lite to have an array of Nintendo Switches for all kinds of players, ones who want the middle ground, one wants the high ground, and one wants the, you know, simplistic ground, that would be fine. Like, that would work in every way. And yet here we are, you know, now on year 5 of the Switch, and they're just now getting to this. Really? Like, it took you that long? And I could even say, like, oh, well, maybe they would have announced this back in 2020 should the global pandemic not ruined everything. And that is very possible. But I would still say, like, but it still took you 4 years to get to that point. How? Like, how did it take you 4 years to say, hey, let's have, like, a slightly bigger and brighter screen? How did it take so long to have the better kickstand? I mean, the kickstand. Like, that should have been day one. Okay.
Yeah, there's never been a moment where I felt like, oh, man, I wish that this kickstand was better.
Yeah.
Like, beyond the first week of getting it and, like, using it in kickstand mode just for science. Like, I've never played it in kickstand mode ever. And I've never seen anybody else play in kickstand mode. Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing that people actually do.
I'm sure it is, like, for some people. But, like, I would only use it if I got Ring Fit Adventure, because then I could prop it up and, you know, do practicing while I'm on. But I know that it's flimsy, and I know that that's why they fixed it. But they kind of should have realized that it was flimsy in the first place.
And the fact that it exposes the micro SD card is just, what the heck? Yeah.
And then you say, oh, but they added more memory. Yeah, but that also should have been something that they, you know, kind of fixed the first time around. So, I don't know. Is it a mistake? No, I would go overall. It is not a mistake, because there are some people who are going to want this this improved... I was going to say this white Nintendo Switch, but that just sounded weird. This improved Nintendo Switch, but the timing is horrible, all right? Because they just came off of E3. Everyone's on a high because of, you know, the games that were announced and are coming out. So again, we're about to hit a major gaming period for the Switch between Monster Hunter and Nioh and Great Ace Attorney Chronicles and Zelda. I forgot about Zelda. I'm like, I know I'm forgetting. It's like, oh yeah, Zelda's coming too. Yeah, fine. But I must sound so evil talking about that game. I must at this point. But the timing was so bad. Like, if they did this at the beginning of the year to just cut out all of the Nintendo Switch Pro rumors, saying, like, you know, there's not a Nintendo Switch Pro, but there's this, it would have shut down so many rumors and probably would have gotten over a lot better. But because they did it right after E3, again, we're, what, like 3 weeks out, you know, or 3 weeks after, and they go, yeah, that's good enough time. No, not really. It's like, you ruined it. You're killing me, Smalls. So, I don't know. I don't know.
It's definitely, like, just one of those debatable things that Nintendo could have done. And just, like, this thing's going to be coming out in October. So,
yeah.
Like, will it possibly push in more units alongside with the new games that's coming out during that time period? Or, like, are they just using this new improved model to, like, test the waters for the upcoming pro model if it comes to reality? So, I don't know. Is it... There's a lot of things that could be in consideration, but I mean, in my opinion, I feel like this is definitely like the test model to see, like, let's see if they take the bait or not. If they take it, if they make money, okay, we'll then move on to it, which, granted, is kind of scummy of Nintendo, but who knows?
It's just, this is one of those things where you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it, and there's really no middle ground. And, like, even an old co-host of ours, Daisy Delilah, was very clear. She's like, I am not buying this. This is not an improvement. This is not what the Switch needs. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who think about that. So, and then there's, I was like, you know what? It's good enough for what I want, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know. We'll just have the deal, I suppose. All right. And now we're going to go into what have you been playing? Will, why don't you go first this time?
So as there's not really much, but generally as for me, I have been continuing on my ventures on Disgaea's six Defiance of Destiny. So, and the story itself, again, continuing, is bonkers as all heck. The character is dead. Himself is like definitely not the guy you want to look up to, but he does have like, right motivations when you in different perspective. So Disgaea 6, definitely quite the ride as continuing on. As well as continuing on with a little bit of actually to basically prep myself for Lost Judgment for PS4, I've actually been continuing on with Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon, just trying to get through it. So there's that, as well as just briefly here going through a bit of Fall Guys, because at the time of recording, the season it will end in less than a week. So in case you want to go and grab finish up those last few levels before the season ends, I highly recommend that you go and play some Fall Guys during this weekend, which no doubt about the team at Media Tank will raise as the double EXP. So make sure to go on Fall Guys for that, as well as continuing on with my adventures on Fire Emblem Heroes, which the new banner, Summer Banner, came up. And of course, naturally, a lot of people are like, again, a Summer Banner, Summer Freya and all that. Like, heck, I got my units that I wanted. It's a little less than 200 orbs, so RNG was fairly okay with me, so that thankfully with that. And of course, I know this is gonna be a big contention topic for us too, Todd, but like the two shorts, they released it before this Tempest Trial Plus, the Fire and Ice.
Yeah. And
first they had the stop motion animation, which is the whole chibi characters, which personally for me, I find it adorable. But like you, Todd, contest, like, no, that's not real animation.
No, it was that I said that the music video, the Let It Go style music video, was better because it actually embraced what Fire Emblem Heroes does. Like, they have their own distinct animation styling, and that was cool. And then they decided, hey, let's tell the story of Fjorm in chibi form. And I'm like, no! If you're going to do it, either do it in still animations with like a dramatic narration, you know, or do it like that, like they've done with like the teasers for all of the stories so far. But then they go, no, let's do chibi form. And I'm like, why?
Why not? It's cute. And the fact like
no.
The whole stop motion animation, just like, yeah, having certain, just being that evil looking guy.
No.
It's like, come on. Like,
Ruby Grant chibi is cute. This was not.
It was cute. Like, you can't tell me that when you see Fjorm and the summoner like having that moment right then and there. It's just like, come on, that is adorable. And the fact that Gunthra had to give the summoner a big giant snowball, which, like, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. And the fact that, like, in the background, Levitain, Surt, just like, yeah, no, working them like the workhorse that they are with the snow seeds. Just like, come on. It's very reminiscent to me. It's very reminiscent to the stop motion from Yoshi's Woolly World. But I digress. Like, it was a cute little thing, and people enjoyed the animation, especially with Lavatine, like just sticking with the whole pulling down her eye and sticking out her tongue against her with that, which that was kind of cute. But of course, naturally, the second animation, which is tribute, the song animation from Fjorm, which voiced by Christina V, which again,
that was great.
Voiced by Shante, that was great. Also, Christina put on Twitter that it was directed with Greg Chun, who is the voice of Ike and many other different characters. So yeah, the second animation is, again, it's a musical, so can't go wrong with that. So, and this, like, I'll quickly wrap it up, but this Tempest Trial basically expanding more after what happens in book two, and we see Niffle. That thing that I am very curious of, like,
yeah,
no doubt about it, we're gonna get Niffle as another mythic or legendary hero.
Obviously.
But to see like this unit that suppose is the one that made that Fjorm made a contract with to defeat Surt is like, okay, filling up the plot holes now. Very good.
That's the thing. It's a plot hole, because at the end of book two, we clearly hear that Fjorm is dying, and I'm like,
right.
And that was tragic. I totally felt that. That was tragic, especially after Gunther died horribly. But then it's like, you know, we keep seeing her pop up. We saw her pop up in book three and book four, and then all the like the forging bonds and everything. And I'm like, there's no way she's not dead yet. Like, no way. So if this is to explain how she dies or how she got out of the contract, that should have came a lot quicker. You know, again, we're in, what are we in, book five now? So, I mean, this is after the Hell arc, after the fairies in the dream world, which I still do not understand at all. And then now book five with the machines and the, you know, evil brothers and, you know, the...
Yeah, steampunk, yeah, steampunk theme, yeah,
there
yeah.
you go, steampunk, yeah. So it's just like, why now? And again, and we just came off of Tempest Trials. We
right,
just came
right,
off
right, right.
The fish
the
one. So yeah, the summer one. Like, yeah. Oh, and here we go. Perfect segue into the newest swimsuit banner. Because, God, what are they doing? Like, stop it. In the words of Michael Jordan, stop it. Get some help. All right? And I'm not even going to focus on the completely random harmonized duo, which makes literally no sense. I'm going to focus on, what's her name? The
Freya,
goat?
Freya.
Freya.
Gold mom.
There's
gold
never
mom.
Been a character that I hate more in
yeah.
Fire Emblem.
Yeah. So here's, now you might be thinking, why do I hate this? You might be thinking, oh, it's because of the very, very revealing outfit that they just don't even try and leave to an imagination. That does tick me off. But at this point, you know what's coming. All right. Look at the last, like, look at the other very recent new swimsuit banner. They did two swimsuit banners in like a month. So like, uh-huh. Okay, I'm not mad per se. Okay, I say I'm mad about it, but I'm like, I'm not as mad as I am like with the last one where I felt that they just went too far. Here's why I'm mad. Freya is a villain. Definitive, undisputed villain. She kills people. She traps people in the dream world, and she was the cause of the death of her brother, which caused her to go into a frenzy and whatever. And I really don't understand what happened in book three. I just don't. They tried to go Inception on that thing, and it fizzled. But they tried to go and say, hey, what? How would we get people like Tyler to like this villain? Hey, let's put her in a very skimpy bathing suit. What could possibly go wrong?
What are we talking about? Me?
You just said that you hated her more than any other Fire Emblem character.
Oh,
so,
I thought you were. Yes, that's true. But
yeah, so
putting
I'm saying
her in a
like
bathing suit wouldn't make
no,
me more likely to like her.
No, I know that, but they don't know that. They,
I
Tyler,
see what you're saying.
They. But like,
I thought you
that
were accusing me of being, you know,
no,
as we say.
You've been more on my side than Will's side, so you know we're good on that front. Anyway, so I'm just like, they try to turn a villain into a swimsuit model and make it seem kosher. But I know what you were doing, Intelligent Systems. You were, and I know Will is going to groan so loud at this. I'm hearing
sorry.
A hurricane.
Even an FBI is calling. Even an FBI is calling to you.
Yeah. Anyway, they did this because they wanted us to try and sympathize with Freya. And so that when we would look at her in her bathing suit, we would feel horny.
That was a good one. And I apologize for the hurricane. I'm doing my
best. Dang it. Please, someone strike not now.
No.
Granted, like, yes, like, perhaps it is in that scheme of things and all as well. But also, like, take the focus away from Freya for a moment here. They did also introduce that Freyr, the brother, and as well Agma.
Which
is so
weird. Like,
what
I
is
mean,
definitely a random one having an finally giving Agma an alternate, which, yeah, like, okay.
That's an
weird
insult to Agma. He's a gladiator. And like, and then you say, but gladiators fought in, you know, bare skin, like, and that's true. And, you know, they often, you know, show their massive bodies, but not in a swimsuit. Like, I'm pretty sure that wasn't one of the Roman games. Okay, I'm just saying. Now the swimsuit competition. Oh yes, Agma looks great.
I believe it was a Greek.
The Colosseum was Roman, dude. Look it up.
Greece is Greece, not in Rome. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we're doing.
Okay, never mind. I could be wrong. Sorry. My history. Sorry. Yeah.
Greece had the Spartans. You know, Romans were it's the Roman Colosseum. It was named, and we're not doing this. Anyway, I just, like, the whole banner was odd. And then they tried to do that, again, they tried to rationalize the harmonized hero with, how do you say it, Seda? Kaida? How do you say her name?
We'll just call it Seda.
Seda. Some of it's up to pronunciation. But, like, Seda and, Plumera, and they're like, and she's like, hey, can you give me one of your dreams? And it's like, don't you know what one of my dreams are? And she goes, no. And he goes, oh, well, they're rather intense. And I'm like, first of all, That makes Seda look like an idiot because she clearly didn't do her research. And half the point of Seda is that she ain't an idiot. And, like, you're telling me that you want to be a friend with someone who you don't know her power set? Like, hello?
I mean, again, with her voice, with the conversations, is again, like, always believing in the good of people of all things.
And that's a beautiful thing, and that's why Cedar's great, but that, again, is like, don't you know what my dreams are? No. Like, that's not her. That's the, oh, God.
Well, then again, you're talking to the guy who talking to the girl who actually married Marv, which Marv is a total dunce in the end.
Well, because he didn't see Seda as anything other than a true friend and loyalist, you know, like, you know, you've been with me, you know, through thick and thin, you know, you're my friend that I can count on. There are guys like that, all right, but like Seda herself would be someone to ask, you know, what are your powers? And we know that each fairy has very different dreams, and yet she didn't even ask Plumire before becoming her friend. Like, that just doesn't seem like her. So.
Like, again, this is just a one-off shit. Again, it's Fire Emblem Hero OC, so OC, it's an OC. And just like even with Plumeria and the heroes' unique characters in this well universe.
Yeah.
But like the fact like just to add in a bit more maybe flavor text to it. And if it like again, Seda and Marv is the origin to what led to the currencies of today. So yeah.
True.
You know, take what you can.
Also, I want to note a small side story to this new banner. In bringing this new one in, they brought back one of the originals, which had the tiki and the bathing suit and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Naturally, to get my free summon, I went and I summoned. I was like, you know what? I don't think I have the tiki. Let's just for the heck of it go for it. So, I summon Mir, the dragon girl. And
I
thought I had her before. I did not. And I was happy. And then I go online, and what do I see? I see Will getting the dragon tiki and him going, thank you! Yeah.
I mean, granted, I have a second tiki. I haven't actually gotten, I actually got Gaius, but who was the servant, the loyal servant of Krom? Shoot, what was his name again?
Frederick.
Frederick, thank you. Yeah, I haven't got Frederick yet in that one, so yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, now going into what I've been playing, I decided, since I had some free time on Sunday or Monday, that I would go and play the Monster Hunter Stories 2 demo. Now, I had not played the original on 3DS, but I knew that you didn't need to have played that. To enjoy this game, so I was just like, let's just try it out. Overall, the game is fine. The game is fun. It has like mixes of Monster Hunter and Pokemon, and I can go Monster Rancher in some ways for those of you who remember those games. But there's a lot going in here, and for example, you collect eggs to get new monsters, and then you battle to raise those monsters. And then you actually go into monster dens to find new eggs. And obviously there's like this grand plot going on with the monsters. And it does tie to the original games a little, but they explain it enough that you don't need to know more. And obviously there's good people, there's bad people, there's the people who love the monsters, there's the people who hate the monsters. If you really wanted to look at this, you could argue that within the first, like, 2 hours, which is how long the demo is loosely, like, they make some direct political references to the world today, but I'm not going to dig into that. But, like, play it yourself and see if you see what I saw. See if you see what I saw, whatever. But overall, it's fine. There were some, like, really annoying things about it, though. There's a cat named Novirus or something like that, and it's a character from the original game, but again, you don't need to know that. He is so dang annoying. We have a silent protagonist situation in the game, and that's fine, I suppose, but the cat keeps talking for you. It keeps calling you buddy, even though it almost got you killed. It keeps speaking in cat puns, like, for real? Or, you know, this, I'll do a cat scratch on your back if you cat scratch mine. And, you know, it's perfect and on and
you
on.
Are not allowed to complain about puns.
Yeah, you are not allowed to complain.
Hold on. No. Let's be clear here. When I make a pun, it's godly. All right, but that's beside the point. I when I do puns, I do them occasionally. Like, I'm pretty sure I've done two big puns this whole podcast. The cat will do like three puns in a single sentence. All right. And he'll just say it off like it's his natural language, where I actually try and weave my puns into the storyline. All right.
I'll be honest with you. It sounds like you might be jealous of the cat.
Oh, God, no. God, no. Okay. I don't want to speak in puns all the time. Could I? Yes. Would I be even more alone than I am right now? Yeah. So I'd rather not. Second of all, that would imply that I'm not creative enough to come up with puns, and I annoy my parents to death because of how creative I am with my puns. So, nice try, you fail. So, yeah. But the cat is so annoying. I'm sorry, like, you play the demo. You play that demo and you tell me that cat's not annoying. Alright? I dare you.
I'm sure the cat's annoying. I'm not gonna deny that.
Good. Because, like, every other reviewer that I saw admits that the cat's annoying. They're like, why didn't they just let the protagonist talk? The voice acting overall is actually pretty solid. I thought that would be a bad thing going forward, but it actually turned out really well. I'm actually pretty sure that Patricia Somerset is in this game. I'd have to look it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the voice of Zelda from Breath of the Wild and Age of Calamity. I'm pretty sure she's in the game. I'm going to have to look it up, but it sounds like her. So that's pretty cool if so. But the demo set up things pretty well. The combat system... it does a mix of RPG fighting and rock, paper, scissors combat, but in a way that's actually fun, because if you lose, just like in rock, paper, scissors, if you lose your matchup, you either get attacked first, or you just don't get attacked. You either attack fails because the other monster overrides you, or you override the other monster so that you would nullify their attack for the turn. And so you have to pay attention to the other monster and say, like, okay, this is what he's going to do next. And then there are times that the monster gets, like, into a rage state, and it'll change up its attack pattern. So, like, your sound strategy goes out the window, and you have to pay even more attention. And the reason you need to get more monsters is because some of those monsters have standard attacks that they'll lean on more than most. So it's honestly a lot more in-depth than you probably think it would be. It can get a little repetitive, but if you balance it out just enough, you're going to be fine. So, and obviously, the game's going to expand with, you know, new characters and new monsters and all that. So, overall, it's fine. The visual style was impressive enough, I would say. Very Breath of the Wild feel, which I feel like we're saying about more and more games nowadays. But, you know, it worked well. Our co-worker here on the Outer Haven actually did an impressions, and he noted that he had some lag issues and some, like, frame rate drops. I personally didn't experience those too much outside of, like, one opening cutscene. But overall, it's fine. And then the reviews have come out for the game, and it's apparently doing really well review-wise. So, like, someone even gave it, like, a 10 out of 10, and, like... wow, they must like the cat. So, I will be getting... I was waiting for someone to react to that, because that was a good joke, so whatever. But
no,
I
was unmuting myself fast, because the hurricane is so loud outside that you missed the first part of the laugh.
It's okay. But yeah, like, I will be reviewing this for the Outer Haven, so hopefully I aim to start playing this tomorrow, if possible. But stay tuned for that, and I'll definitely have a more in-depth playthrough talking about it next week. So but I definitely think this will stand out. I was honestly worried based on early things that I heard, including from our coworker, that it might not be as good as Monster Hunter Rise, which again surprised everyone this year with how much it did sales wise so I think this is going to stand out pretty well on its own, and we'll see. And if you guys play it, of course, you as in my coworkers and you as in our listeners at home, do let me know what you think. Because I definitely think this is going to appeal to a lot of people. And the Monster Hunter grind, which is usually what keeps people away from this series, I don't think that's going to be here as much. Outside of obviously leveling up your new monsters that you get from the eggs. So, but yeah. Tyler, what about you? I know you're in hurricane season, but what have you been playing?
I may have found a better room, so it's possible. although I expect the Wiz will start picking it up again. I have been playing quite a bit, actually, on the Nintendo front. I played a lot of Super Smash Ultimate the other day with one of my friends from school. He was playing as Kazuya, and I can report that Kazuya is a pain in the butt to fight against. His shenanigans are just so shenanigan-y. There is so many, my buddy's pretty good, so he was taking full advantage of his invincible dash and dodging my attacks with his, like, ability to just turn himself invincible for a few seconds. His version of Shoryuken is incredibly strong. It can kill you at like 50%, and that rage mechanic where his grab becomes that, like, just absolute monster, like, face plant where he sticks your head into the ground and launches you is very frustrating to get hit against, but also extremely cool. So Sakurai did a great job again with Kazuya, and he seems like a really fun character for people who are excited to play as him or like that more technical, those more technical characters. I also have played a little bit more Mario Golf. I've wrapped up my review. I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. I almost docked it down to 2.
You did dock it down to 2 because I called you out on it.
Well, you did. So yes, when the original draft had it at a 2 because I had just... The last thing I did was play online, and like the online play not working and people rage quitting. It's so, so frustrating. But then I played it again with people locally, and I had a really good time, despite the game's flaws. Like Speed Golf, the character balance is the worst, and like it sounds ridiculous and it sounds like I'm complaining. You actually have to. If you played it, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous how good some characters' dashes are compared to others. But when you're just playing stroke play with friends, it's a good time. And I think that bumps it up to a 2.5 out of 5. It's an average game. It's very flawed in some ways, but you'll still have a good time with it if you're playing it in the right setting. So I've played a decent amount more of that. And then I've continued my Ratchet & Clank replays, and it's just been so much fun. Those games are the best. I am on Tools of Destruction. I just finished that one. It's the PS3, the first PS3 game. And now I'm going to go on to A Crack in Time and play that one. So it has made me want to explore Sony's catalog more. I will say it's given me the itch to go back and play Jak and Daxter and maybe to buy the Sly Cooper collection. Like, I really only played Nintendo growing up, so I missed out on a lot of those early PlayStation games. And I may spend some time going back and checking those out. So that's been the bulk of my time. I am definitely looking forward to Monster Hunter, though. That looked the treehouse footage looked great. Your analysis of it sounds like something I'll really enjoy. So I'll probably be picking that up when it comes out.
Good. And just remember, when you get annoyed by the cat, Todd told you so.
Oh, I think you're going to be definitely right about the cat. There were so many things that annoyed me in Monster Hunter Rise. I'm sure the cat is along that line.
Yeah. All right. And finally, yes, finally, because our main event was already at the beginning of the show with the Ole, we got some interesting pieces of news. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And let's talk about the Nintendo Ole some more. I'm joking. We're not doing that. We've raged enough. Actually, we're going to start with a story that I am very happy about. Pokemon Master Journeys. Yes, we finally have confirmation that this will be coming back to Netflix. It'll actually be coming back this summer. Or sorry, this September. I saw S's. It's the same thing. In this September, and we even got the first English dub trailer for it, and it's been teasing a lot of things, including the arrival of the Suicune episode, which is a bit controversial if you know what happens. The growth of Chloe's character, which if you've read my reviews, I've been asking for this for a while. And certain other storylines that'll be building up throughout this particular evolution of the series. Now, a very curious thing is that Netflix has already gone on record to state how many episodes are going to be in this, what they call the 24th season of the show. There will be 42 episodes, and it'll start with 12 episodes starting on September 10th. So we're only about 2 months away. And then they'll be, have their quarterly releases like they did with Journeys. So that either means we're going to get 15 episodes in two bursts or 10 episodes in three bursts. Not really sure which one they're going to do, but I guess we'll just have to see. So I'm excited about this because I've really enjoyed Pokemon Journeys for the most part. I still think they could, you know, tighten things up a little bit, but given what we saw in this trailer, I think there's a definitely potential for it to grow. As I was talking with my friends on Twitter, their biggest problem is actually topping the theme song for Pokemon Journeys, because The Journey Starts Today is one of the best Pokemon theme songs ever, and them trying to top it is going to be hard. So, and you think I'm joking? I'm not. I sing and dance to The Journey Starts Today every time I hear it. So, yeah, be ready for that. So again, that's September 10th. It'll be the first 12 episodes, and they'll be doing the quarterly releases. So be ready for that. And you two still haven't seen it, have you?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir, I have not.
Fine. All right, moving on to something I know you both have. Ring Fit Adventure.
Yep.
Yes. So as part of the Q&A that we talked about a little bit last week, there was some more revelations about it, and one of them was about Ring Fit Adventure. And Shintaro Furukawa, the president of Nintendo, was asked about it, and he goes, quote, "Since Ring Fit Adventure was released in October 2019, strong demand has continued both in Japan and overseas. It sold 7.38 million units globally during the fiscal year that ended in March 2021, so basically the entire global pandemic year. And cumulative sales have exceeded 10 million units. The title is also popular in the Asia region, including Korea, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, even though Nintendo's main business regions are Japan, the US, and Europe." So that means it's doing well elsewhere. "With regard to future developments, I cannot disclose specific plans, but we would like to take various initiatives so many people continue to play this title," end quote. So there could be a sequel. There could be expansion level content. There could be DLC. You don't know.
That would be a correct call, like, because like I'm even for those who have completed the adventure mode, there's still a lot of, like, even after game content, like the end game quests. So, but if they add like another world, like another, I don't know, a side story like to this RPG, that would be something. So that would be the right cause if they want to continue on with their whole focus on exercise games.
With sales like that, you would expect them to come out with a sequel. But at the same time, there is no way that a Ring Fit Adventure should get a $60 sequel. It's an exercise game that you can just update. Like, it should be a... Honestly, like, it feels like it should be a free DLC update. What are they going to do? Add more exercises in? Like, maybe there's some more stuff you can do with the ring, but that's something you can just add. Like, that should be... If they come out with Ring Fit Adventure 2, I would be disappointed. Not surprised. Financially, that seems like the correct decision.
Okay, what if they did come out with Ring Fit Adventure 2, but they did it in like a dual way? So they have like the $60 version. Actually, what was the cost of the original?
It's $60, but the ring costs a lot separate. What was the? I think it was $80 total. I think it was
like $80, but now they dropped down here or there since release. Okay. Yeah.
So let's just be generous. So let's just say they do like two versions of it. They do the complete version, which is the game and the ring for those like me who don't have it yet, and that's $60. But then they do like the game only version, which I'm sure would be like digital only, you know, just like an eShop thing, for $30. Would that make it easier for you? And like, I'm talking a completely like new adventure mode, expanded exercises, maybe better, more, even more personal trainers.
Go ahead. The adventure mode is like, it would take you, Will's been playing for a year and he's not finished the adventure mode yet. Like, there's a lot of content in the adventure mode. So I think that it's an exercise game at the end. Like, you should just add more. You could just add to that adventure mode. You don't need to release a $30 game for it. Just add new maps. Like, the main point of the game is exercise, not... The graphics are fine, but I guess the overall point is there's nothing... There's no real thing that's lacking in this game now that would require a $30 separate package. So no, it wouldn't do it for me. It would need to be, I would pay $10 for more content. Sure. Like, that seems fair, but 30, that's a bit much.
Granted. Like, also, of course, actually, it depends on, like, how often you exercise. I mean, again, I've only been exercising it, like, for once per weekend, if conditions meet with it. So, like, if they're probably even going to do the whole Wii Fit Plus situation, which they also, like, just basically released another expansion, which I think was roughly about $30, yeah, when they did that. So... if they decide to do this with the Ring Fit, like Ring Fit Plus or some sorts, then yeah, $30 price mark. I mean, granted, it is a bit steep, but if the content itself, if that expansion content is well worth it, which personally for me, I enjoyed the Wii Fit Plus. It was a nice addition, which was severely lacking in the base kit. So if they do something similar to that, as long as the content is justified the price, then I wouldn't mind it. But $10 is definitely would be the best price overall if they want to do something something of that sort of an expansion. So that I would like to see.
Again, I haven't played it, so I don't know. But this was definitely one of the I hate saying that anything benefited from the pandemic, but like this benefited from the pandemic because you know it did well enough before, because again it came out in 2019 before everything started to hit, and clearly it was doing enough. But then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I don't have a way to exercise. How do I do it? And then they're like, wait a minute, wasn't there an exercise thing on the Switch? And then you know it ballooned to 10 again from March. Technically it's April, but April 2020 to March 2021, it sold 7.38 million. So people clearly paid attention, and they're like, "Yeah, but we might as well exercise inside while we can." So yeah, that happened.
Yeah, when it came out, it was very hard to find the ring. I remember that there was a massive shortage of the actual ring, and the game was selling for like crazy high price mark. So
yep.
It would have done well regardless, but no doubt the pandemic was huge for it. But the question is, are people into it, and did they stick with it enough to think, okay, if they do a 2, I'll buy that also? That's a question I don't have the answer to, but I would think probably not. I wouldn't think the sequel would do as well.
Granted, that's of course because people love to like give up on their New Year's resolution that easily, especially with loss gained. But who knows? If you're the type of person, if like a trainer or like one who is really interested to invest in Ring Fit, then yeah, obviously they could get your money's out of worth. But if you're like a casual, just like doing exercise casually, like me once every weekend or every so often, then perhaps it may not be worth the justifying price. But again, it's how much you want to invest into it.
Yeah, so let's keep our eyes on this, because I'm sure it'll entice some people, if not others. So, all right, moving on, we have, this was a very curious one. It's Mass Effect on the Nintendo DS. Yeah, I know that sounds like a weird thing. So this was during the peak of the Mass Effect craze, and BioWare, specifically the team, if you recall, Sonic the Dark Chronicles.
Yeah.
If you recall that game, that was a team that was gonna go and make a game called Mass Effect Corsair, and it was basically gonna be Mass Effect meets Star Control. And you would be a pilot in the, quote, wider Mass Effect universe, and you'd go and do various things like a pilot/pirate would do. You deliver cargo, get information, give it to the Earth Alliance, and, you know, you occasionally do battles and more. And the team's producer, who is now a former BioWare producer, Mark Duraw, said that, you know, they were going to try and go big with this, but there were just a couple of problems. The first one was the Nintendo DS they were trying to put this on. They were trying to fit a big game onto a small cartridge, which, while the DS was able to put big games out there, it wasn't exactly easy, especially with the graphical power that it had. And if anybody remembers Kingdom Hearts 358 divided by 2 days, that's a great example. So, like, that was a problem, and then getting the right cartridge to put the game on was apparently very expensive, so at best, they were going to get about, like, $5 profit for every game sold, and here's the funniest part, EA, who we all know is the devil, they said that the game would only sell 50,000 units. Yeah, I don't believe that. Mark Dorah did not believe that, but it did put things into perspective, and you know, EA just straight up canceled it. And it was probably for the best, if we're being, you know, objective here. It probably was for the best, because that really wouldn't have feel like a Mass Effect title, you know? Like, it wouldn't have that RPG element. It wouldn't have, you know, the characters and everything, more than likely anyway. So it's probably best that they didn't do that, but it was curious, no doubt, that they were at least thinking about it.
The fact that the idea they want to bring something to the DS, the 3DS, and expand, like, I don't know, as a companion game to the world of Mass Effect. I mean, granted, EA is always fun to try to get the quickest buck, especially with their IPs, including the Mass Effect franchise, just how big it was back then. And with that Corsair idea of, like, I don't know, like the fleet, almost like fleet management, as you said, like spaceships and just like traveling all throughout the different galaxies out there in the world of Mass Effect. It's definitely an interesting idea, but the fact that, like, EA really wants to invest on the 3DS, yeah, that I really did not really see it.
The DS. This was back in the DS
days. Oh, the DS era.
Yeah,
so,
remember, this was during the peak of Mass Effect, like, think, like, 2 and 3.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, like, because the only comparison I can only imagine was, the way you describe it is already similar to a Star Fox Commando. That's one thing I'm kind of reminded about.
Yeah, Command's a good example of that.
Yeah, EA wanted to go on that. I mean, I'm glad they kind of canceled it, because, like, I feel like it would have been definitely one of their more clear, is just an obvious cash grab from EA, if anything else, if you ask me.
I'm a little more optimistic, because this team made the Sonic Chronicles on DS also, and that game was, like, pretty decent. It wasn't great or anything, but it was pretty decent. And it used the DS pretty well. Sonic's a pretty bad fit for it. I think, you know, you put a Han Solo type character into Mass Effect. I think the idea is there. I don't hate the idea, and I kind of wish we saw it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where you're like, you hear it and you go, that probably wouldn't work. But then, you know, you play it in practice and you're like, you know, this worked out better than I thought. We'll never know, sadly, but it's nice to dream. Nice to dream. All right. This next one is directly for Will, because I was watching my wrestling show, AEW Dynamite, last night. It was their first show on the road in like 18 months, give or take.
Oh, boy.
And because this was a, what we like to call a live crowd, like a live out-of-town crowd. They were in Miami, Florida. Very lively group. And there were signs all over the place. And then there was a fan who decided to try and jump into the ring and attack a wrestler, and he got knocked the heck out. As he should have. But the real reason I'm talking about this is because in the crowd, somewhere, there was a man. And that man went full heel last night, Will. Because that man had a sign that said Persona 5 sucks.
That man can go to heck for all I care. That man can go to heck.
I know. But like, here, and you're like, well, what is that really that all you're talking about? You don't understand. Apparently, the wrestling community has a lot of gamers in it. And I know a few wrestlers who are gamers, like the amazing Leva Bates.
Right.
But like, this guy was on camera, and you could see the sign that said Persona 5 sucks. And I'm seeing it on Twitter, on Discord, on Facebook. Everyone is talking about this guy because they don't know why he said Persona 5 sucks. Like, it's like this obsession is like, why does he think that way? Is he just trying to troll us? Was he trying to be a heel? And why say it now? Was it just because he didn't have enough of a platform before and he thought he would get on AEW Dynamite? I don't know. I don't know, but I want to know, because why did he say that? Why does he feel that way?
Either be one, it is true that he thinks that Persona 5 sucks, which isn't, or he's just basically trying to guard up attention just to say, like, ah, look at me, hey, I'm trying to troll people. Yeah, it's like, it's either one of those two outcomes in my, I think. But yeah, if you really think that Persona 5 stinks, get your head out of your butt. your own mind, man. Get your head out of your own mind.
I know what you were trying to say, and I appreciate the pivot.
Again, we're trying to keep this PG, and again, I don't want to talk to AEW with the wrestling and all that, but yeah.
It's just, it was so random! I mean, to be clear, he wasn't a front line, like, front row, like, signed to the camera guy. He was about 10 rows back, and he almost didn't see it the first time. And then they panned again, and there's, like, a couple clear shots of this guy just holding up a very basic sign that says, Persona 5 sucks. And I want to know why. Like, why?
I mean, like, the critiques to Persona 5 is either be, like, either be with the story, the mechanics. I mean, there's a lot of critiques against Persona 5, granted. But why you want to put up on that sign? I don't know. Only he knows, which, honestly, I don't want to know.
I respect the zag, though. Sometimes you have to respect the zag. The contrarian in me loves this move from this guy. You have a hot take and you need to get it off your chest.
Yes, but again, this is not like, if he said, okay, well, what was a big game that came out this year? Monster Hunter Rise. If he just went out and said Monster Hunter Rise sucks, okay, fine. If he,
well, listen, he didn't care about Monster Hunter Rise. But like, he wanted to take down Persona 5.
But like, that's what I'm trying to get to. It's like, but at least Monster Hunter Rise is a game from this year. Persona 5's from, what was it, 2019?
Right? Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, 2019, then Royal was 2020, right?
Maybe. I think it was before that, but I couldn't
remember. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, though, because, like, again, he went onto a wrestling show, the first on-the-road wrestling show for Dynamite in, like, 18 months, and of all the signs he could write, of all the wrestling-themed signs he could write, he goes, no. I ain't going to voice my opinion to say Persona 5 sucks.
Listen, I'm sitting here every day. I wake up in the morning and check my phone, my Twitter DMs. I'm just waiting for somebody to call me and say, do you want to come and talk about Ratchet and Clank 2002 for 3 hours? And I would say, yes, I would love to. So I relate to this guy. I feel like I doesn't matter how old the game is. You have a hot take. You need to share it with someone. And this was him sharing it with the world.
Well, since we're on that topic, Tyler, I gave a monologue the other day about why Michael Jordan is vastly superior to LeBron James. And so, we're not doing that now. But I did have one, and it actually was very compelling. I binge-watched The Last Dance on Sunday. Like, I was just feeling super lazy, and so I watched it all. And as I was watching it, I'm like, Michael is just so much better than LeBron. But we will discuss that another time. So, finally, and I was going to skip this, but we honestly have a little time. Last week, there was a lot of information that came out about Nintendo, and one of the most interesting stories was that Nintendo officially confirmed that they had a new person on their board of directors, which on its own is not that odd of a thing, except that the person is Chris Meledandri. What a last name. Chris Meledandri, who is the CEO of Illumination. And Illumination is obviously the company behind Despicable Me and the Minions and the upcoming Super Mario movie. So why is a head of a animation studio now they're calling him an outside board member, whatever the heck that means, of Nintendo? Well, according to Furukawa, and this is a long quote, so I'm not gonna quote it all, but basically he said that they are going to be putting him in as an independent and non-executive outside director, again, whatever the heck that means, and thus he will be guiding people in the advisory way for visual content that could be important to Nintendo in the future, which has me thinking that if the Super Mario movie does well, which it could, it absolutely could, they're going to rely on him and more than likely Illumination to go and make more animated films about their various properties. And they want him on the board so that he can see what Nintendo does and say, maybe, hey, let's do this franchise, let's do that franchise, or something else in between. So maybe we might be getting a lot more Nintendo media in the somewhat near future.
Potentially, that seems to be what they're trying to do. I'm not optimistic about the Super Mario movie. I just don't really think that franchise is great to make a movie. So maybe, you know, maybe they've got plans beyond it regardless, but I wouldn't be surprised if this didn't really lead the way we think it is.
Right. And again, like, if we're talking like theater, again, Sony has a major hold on the theater with Sony Pictures and all that. So for them to like want to like really step it into the movie business. I mean, again, we have some success with the Pikachu movie, but like now with Illumination, which again, Minions, all that, it's just it's definitely going to be an interesting if they want to venture through with this. So who knows?
Yeah, I was just really weirded out by this because it almost felt like a conflict of interest, because they're hiring essentially a guy who is, you know, making their movie, a movie for them about their biggest star. And it's like them saying, like, hey, thanks for doing this for us. Why don't you come on to our board of directors as thanks? Like, that just reeks of conflict of interest, all right? I'm not saying that they're breaking any laws. They're not, obviously, though I know of. But, like, it just felt weird. And then I hear Furukawa said, no, we're using him as an advisory perspective for, like, future. And he said, literally, visual content. Like, just say movies and television, man. Just say that. It's not visual content. Ugh. Like, literally, that's the quote. As part of this visual effort, visual content could be important for us. Yeah, we know. You make video games. That's visual content. So, I don't know. I don't know. But if this could lead to the future, you know, Mario or Super or Nintendo franchises being developed by Illumination, I'm for it. Because, you know, yes, Tyler, you have a legit concern by saying that, you know, maybe Mario isn't the best franchise to do this with. But I would have bet money that Detective Pikachu would have been horrible. And that the Sonic movie was almost horrible. We all know this. But, like, the Sonic movie could have easily bombed. But they were able to pull it out in the end after a massive fan protest. And now there's a sequel that's coming out next year. So we need to at least have a little faith, Alfred, that this could be good, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
The thing is, like, Detective Pikachu, you have an end to have your main character talk. And, you know, Pokemon is this wonderful, fantastic world where the monsters are, like, so critical to the whole experience that the way that they created them was a huge driver in whether the movie was going to be enjoyable to fans or not. Like, Mario is a different situation where, yes, there are awesome creatures and magical world and stuff like that, but Goombas aren't visually captivating in a way a Bulbasaur is. And the character of Mario doesn't talk, and it would be weird if he did talk, and it has been weird in the past when he does talk. Like, I try to picture what the movie looks like, and it feels like it has less to offer than the Sonic movie does. And that's not because I'm a Sonic fan per se. Like, Sonic is a character.
Oh, what? You're not a Sonic fan?
Oh, I am. Really? But I'm not saying that because I'm a Sonic fan. I just think the character of Sonic, there's more you can do in a movie setting than with a character like Mario and have it still be good. I'd love to be proven wrong. I would love that. But I think when you have a character who is as one note as Mario, even as beautiful as that note is, it makes it hard to have a great movie.
I mean, now when you mention it, like, how much can you really do with the Mario formula? Like, aside some, like, very random topics, like, as in the game, like, for example, the games, like, with going to space or traveling across the world. Like, we've seen these old topics in other movies. Like, I don't know. Like, for example, take Fast and the Furious. It only appears about cars. Now we're just going doing anything with the Fast and the Furious series. So, like, there's only so much you can do with a certain character, especially that's as iconic as Mario. So what really can you do in movie format? So that is always the question when making a movie, if you ask me.
Look, yeah. I know I'm going to be showing my age when I talk about this, but you guys do remember there was a Mario animated series.
There was.
Mario talked fully. I remember that.
I pointed it out, though. It was weird.
Of course it was weird. It was like 90s Nintendo. Everything was weird back then. They had Captain Lou Albano, another wrestling reference,
right,
named Mario with a theme song.
Right. It also had Elvira as a special guest, if I remember correctly as well. Yeah, Elvira.
So this is like, the whole thing was weird. All right, and we talked about it before, but the Donkey Kong Country show, like, that
right,
was infinitely
right, right.
weird. Like, seriously, infinitely weird. So I want to believe, but we'll just have to see. All right, and with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
No poll last week.
We did not. So, this week, we're going to ask a very simple yet incredibly important poll question. So Tyler, write this down word for word.
Okay.
Does Persona 5 suck? Yes or no?
Good,
no.
Good.
I can't. All right. How about Monster Hunter Stories? Or are you going to pick up Monster Hunter Stories 2 this weekend? I know our boss King Koopa Keith did it, but I think he only got like 2 votes. So I'm hoping we get more. So yeah. So are you getting Monster Hunter Stories 2 this weekend? Yes, no, or I'll pick it up later in the month or something like that, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we'll let you know. And of course, I will be detailing my own personal experiences with this next week. So for Tellius, Tyler, and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.